Welcome to the Keep Growing at UF podcast. I'm Brandon. I am a trainer on the UF HR Training and Organizational Development team. Training and Organizational Development has identified key skills that faculty and staff can develop as individuals and as leaders. The Keep Growing podcast will present some of our team's trainings in an audio format so that you can listen and learn at your convenience. Are you leading a hybrid team comprised of both remote and in-office positions? This episode will provide supervisors with some best practices and strategies to increase team effectiveness when not everyone is in the office. This webinar was originally presented by Diane Mattis and Becky Younglove on Friday, September 25th, 2020.
Good morning, almost afternoon to everyone. Welcome. We may have a few people still logging on. We're going to go ahead and get started and respect all of your time here today. We're really excited to have you join us for this webinar that we put together on leading a hybrid team. We know that this is a hot topic lately around campus here at the University of Florida. A lot of people have spoken up about the need to sort of think about this way of work of, you know, what happens when you're trying to manage a team that just doesn't look traditional, right? So it's great to be able to kind of see in the chat there where all of you are leading from in the different areas across the university. It's great. We'll be offering opportunities today for you to speak up and share some of your experiences or your strategies with each other, in addition to the things that we hope to be able to share with you today along the lines of tips, tricks, strategies that can help you to be an even more effective leader in this space. So my name is Becky Younglove. Oops, sorry, I'm hitting my microphone. I'm a leadership development specialist on the training and organizational development team, and I'm joined this afternoon by my colleague.
Hi, I'm Diane Mattis, and I am an instructional designer with the organizational team as well. I've been with the university almost like 9 months now, so fairly new, and COVID made it even special because it was all so different.
Oh, right, yeah. For many of our employees, maybe even some of you on the line today, even more challenging component was, you know, employees that were sort of not longstanding, newer to the organization or even hired on amidst some of these changes that create some even greater challenges. So it's really interesting. You know, we reached out to some of our leadership network groups a couple of months ago and said, you know, we've kind of been moving through this pandemic. We've put out a lot of great content through some webinars and strategy sharing sessions for leaders across campus. We wanted to know, like, what else are you still interested in learning more about? And this topic of leading a hybrid team had come up more often than not in the feedback that we received in one way or another. Like, some people were saying, you know, I need to know how to manage the effects of morale on employees when some are in the office and some are at home, or a combination of the two, right? Some people were wondering things around, like, what does team building look like, you know, when not everybody is in the office? How do we keep those levels of engagement up and motivate our staff? And then what about communication, you know, and the complexities that are involved in that when you do have a combined effort? And then thinking of, you know, the use of technology, but also, like, still keeping connection with everybody, right? Because that's a tricky combination. Like, technology's great, but what about social connection? What about personal, interpersonal relationships and connection and continuing to make that a priority? So we heard that feedback and we thought this would be a topic that might be interesting to folks to tune in for. So we are recording the session this afternoon. We will send that link out to you along with a couple of other resources after the webinar so that you have access to it. You can share it with others. That'll be posted up on our Keep Growing site as well. So wanted to kind of just start off. And Diane and I were talking about this content, like, you know, I wonder if everybody has sort of the same understanding of what we're talking about when we're talking about a hybrid team, you know? And so now that we have all kind of tried out remote work, not everybody, but in a, you know, probably a large majority of places at the University of Florida, we've all sort of tried it out, right? We have a much better idea of where that can work and maybe where it absolutely cannot work, you know, for a variety of reasons. And so finding that out is great because I don't think we would have the level of remote work happening right now, right, Diane? I mean, probably we wouldn't be working remotely right now, I guarantee you, if, you know, COVID hadn't happened. But There's some benefits to it, and then there's also, of course, some challenges, especially for you as a manager to think about in this space, right? You can get greater flexibility as an employee. You have greater flexibility. It can increase job satisfaction, right? It can also do the reverse. It can result in higher productivity in some instances, right? And of course, one of our biggest priorities right now is the health and safety of others. And so one of the things that's nice about being able to provide some distance at times in different models, which a hybrid team is one of those ways, right? Some people in the office, some people working from home, or maybe a combination, right? Like Diane, when are you in the office? You're like in there.
So I work Monday and Wednesday in the office, and then the other 3 days I work from home remote, unless something is a meeting or I need to come in, but usually that's my schedule, yes.
Yeah, so and I'm in on Tuesdays and Fridays, so we actually don't cross over in person, you know, ever, generally speaking.
Ever.
Which is a challenge that teams have to think about. But we did it kind of a schedule where it's a little bit of a mixture, right? So we have some at-home time and some in-office time, and you may have that, or you may have a combination of the two. So in the chat, just if you have thoughts around that to share with the group, like, do you have a completely remote team? Do you have, you know, a hybrid schedule of some are in the office, some are not all the time? Or do people kind of come and go, you know, as they rotate in and out of the office to provide that safer distance? Kind of what are your current circumstances right now in that space? So some are full-time remote, some have 1 week in, 1 week out. That's like a full week at a time. That's an interesting model.
Mm-hmm.
Two employees that are mostly in and then two that alternate. So again, like it's that hybrid approach, right? It's completely sort of ever-changing and developing.
And Renee's team is piloting a full-time remote experience through the end of the year.
I think several groups are doing that mm-hmm. as well, right? A lot of rotations I see. So some people, you know, kind of have a rotating schedule. And then John's got, you know, some in the office and some out. But the ones that are always in, out, are always out. So those are consistent, yeah. I think, you know, when we first started moving to the challenge of having a combination, and for us then it makes really a hybrid team because we all sort of have a rotating schedule of days that we're in and days that we're out, and some of the challenges that come with that, right? Like it's not all beautiful right from the start, right? There's things that you have to think about, things that can go wrong, things that can be challenging for you as a leader, right? Thinking just about meetings in general, right? Like for a lot of purposes, when all of us were at home, right, it almost was easier because we kind of figured that out. And then it was like, okay, all of our meetings look like this. But now it's kind of super weird when three of us are in the office and some are at home, but we're all Zooming in, but like we can hear each other in the office. And it's just kind of weird to like be in the same room and on a call, but not, you know, it's weird. It's just a weird thing. but, you know, meetings in general, when they are virtual, which for most people, Stephanie, it's like, it's kind of, sometimes it's creepy, I think, but I don't know. It's just me. But for some people too, you know, it's harder to pick up on a lot of those visual cues like body language and facial expression when you're not all, you know, physically in the same place. And it also can be hard to speak up and express your opinion, right, or share what idea you might have to contribute, because when we're virtual, there's that whole, you know, talking over each other type thing, and sometimes you can have meeting hogs, right, or different people that dominate. When we think about communication, right, there's things that can go wrong there. Some of you may have experienced some challenges around, you know, sharing of information, right? How much do I share? How little do I share? How much trust is there on the team that they're sharing in between outside of me? And I know that they're doing that, you know? when we find that information isn't flowing, right, it's really easy for people to jump to conclusions or misinterpret, you know, a chat or an email message, right? And then if we think about social connections and how different that looks when you have a hybrid team or a completely remote team, right? You know, at first we kind of hit pause on everything, right? Like, I mean, even on our team, Diane, we're like, okay, like, nothing. We'll just be good for a little while, you know, and everybody. Then when we realized, okay, this is actually going to be happening for a while, we need to think about how we can do something different to still get together and have time where we're not just like talking about work all the time. Now we're learning to adapt and find ways that you, you know, you can still connect. And so we'll talk about some of those things today, and hopefully you have some strategies to share as well, ways that you found success there. And then there's this thing about like, you know, all the, and even in the office, when everybody on your team is in a physical space together, right, there's a lot that can be assumed, or judgments can be made, right, about why somebody's doing this or why somebody's doing that, or why a project is being, you know, divided up in this certain way, or how clear expectations are about certain things. So that sense of fairness is even trickier, I think, you know, in this hybrid and or fully remote space. Are there any other like pain points? So we pulled you guys through that Qualtrics survey. I had about 10 people respond, and I think some of these things came out as like, you know, general areas that are real pain points. Were there any other things that you guys felt like are, you know, a greater challenge for you right now, really kind of stretching you? I'll let you throw that in the chat. Training, Sarah. What do you mean by training, Sarah, as far as
being probably means training new employees.
Like being able to train them up on certain aspects? Oh, yeah. That's definitely challenging. Yeah. Yeah, onboarding in general and new skills. Feel free to unmute yourself, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Not new employees. My employees have been here a year, but the management system changed.
Right.
About 6 months into their first year, so now I'm here, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so that looks very different. So any sort of training.
So building a team has been difficult. I did find that while we were off, we were all working at home, that one of my team did this wonderful thing. She would periodically just email everybody and say, one thing you might not know about me is... And we all started doing it.
Ah.
We would respond, and we all learned more about each other. And it really made it the team stronger. It opened up that communication. Sometimes I would start it. Sometimes somebody else would start it. And we would all have those kinds of communications coming at us, you know, at least once a day from everybody on the team. There are five of us total. And so it really made for a good basis to continue working forward. But the training, I mean, we're on grants. We manage post-award grants. So it's a little more technical. And they have the basics down, which is good. But now there's all this, you know, other stuff. It's one of these long, very, very... high learning curve.
Yeah. And then the level of support, engaging what's needed without giving too much. And all of that comes into play too. Absolutely. And a couple people mentioned engagement. We'll talk about that a little bit today too, but that's a huge component, right? Engagement and motivation is a big piece of this. And then I appreciate, you know, the comment about folks being confused as well about like, why do I need to do this? Why do I need to be in the office? And others, and some teams may have some in the office and some remote, and there may be hard feelings about that, right? And so the way in which you approach that as a leader is definitely tricky, but also super important, right? Stacy, Navigate Waters, yeah. Resentment. Yeah, I think that's some others have agreed on that. And training is definitely a a greater challenge. So we're going to hit on a couple of these points today, a little more than others, but we'll definitely provide some additional resources as a follow-up as well, and we'll be open to hearing your ideas of what you found that worked also. And distractions, yes.
Distractions, definitely.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we've got technology, which is always hit and miss. I mean, we've experienced that even just this week, right, with so many areas around UF, which just kind of went, offline. Nobody can communicate. We had to reschedule meetings. And, you know, not everybody has a camera always, so there can be complications there around those sorts of things. So definitely a little more challenging, a little more stressful. So the first thing I think we have to do is kind of take a step back and really think about our own mindset as leaders, right? Because in order to really truly lead effectively in this new territory that we've come to know as normal for most of us, right? It's really important that you're considering and paying attention to and regularly assessing the level of trust on your team. So trust is foundational for all relationships, whether it's, you know, a work relationship like Diane and I as colleagues, or myself with my supervisor, you know, or myself with my customers that I serve, or relationships that are in a more personal sense, right? Trust is foundational across the board. So when everybody was in the office, it has always been, I would say, a critical area for leaders to pay attention to be regularly thinking about the levels of trust that exists within your team and the ways in which you can continue to build up stronger levels of trust to help them to be able to collaborate better, to have better relationships. And as Sarah mentioned, like a lot of times that means getting to know people at a different, you know, more personal level, which is even more challenging when distance is a factor, right? So now the things that people are really looking at are things like, you know, how reliable do I perceive you to be, or how consistent are you in what I expect to happen, you know, or how responsive are you as a colleague or as a leader in whatever relationship they have. So with everything that we're going to talk about today, I want us to really kind of think about our mindset around this thing called trust. And it's really the common connector for how you as a leader can get some of these areas to just move to that next level for your team, right? To really kind of push you to that next place. So if you don't have trust, you're not going to be able to get a lot done. You're not going to be able to get that efficiency and that productivity, no matter how well you might be directing those efforts, right? So it's a really important piece to pay attention to. I oftentimes think of trust as, you know, the air that we breathe around us, you know, and if you think of it that way, it's like, you know, if you have the air that you need and you breathe it in, you breathe it out, and it's not a problem for you, you don't even think about it, right? But if suddenly I were, you know, trapped underwater or there was something obstructing my airway and I couldn't get breath, it would be the only thing I could think of at that time, right? And it's the same thing with trusting relationships, right? So as a leader, it really kind of challenges us to think about our mindset and examine the ways in which we are building trust with our employees, setting that example, and then seeing it kind of come out and play. They need to feel confident in you as a leader, that you're really, you know, going to be able to support them through all of these hard times, right? And they want to feel confident in that, I think. And they really probably are working really hard, not always visibly to us, but it's definitely the case that most of the time that is the place. And it's delicate to balance these things out, right? Like if you have a lot of people that are remote or a balance of the two, right? You're having to share your attention. You're having to share your energy between the different groups. Sometimes that can result in us kind of reverting back to having more control or more structure to that control, and that sometimes can backfire on you, right? Some of you may have experienced this already with, you know, some of our higher performers especially can really feel stifled and even start to be more disengaged and less motivated to do their best. They want to know that you really care about them and that you believe that they can do the best job, right? Not that you're going to necessarily be on top of them to keep tabs of every little thing that's happening, right? So oftentimes we find in the literature, it supports this, that, you know, employees don't necessarily need particular special skills to be able to work in some sort of a hybrid team, right? But they do need your support and your direction. in a trusting environment for that to happen, right? Awesome. And so I think of that as like the investment that you make as a leader in your team, right, Diane?
Yes, I love this quote that give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. So a lot of people learn, obviously, by doing instead of just watching. So we all make mistakes and we learn from those mistakes, hopefully, so that we can be more productive on the next time.
Yeah. And it's harder, I think, to manage in that way, right? Like some of you mentioned training, like in particular, like I think it is harder. It's a new skill set that we have to learn to be able to help people to be their best and to relinquish some control in a lot of ways, to trust them without necessarily knowing the outcome of what's on the other side. But hopefully we're giving them what they need to be successful. And there's a couple of strategies we're going to go through today to just kind of help us to wrap our brains around the ways in which we can approach this stuff, right? So we'll talk a little bit more about these in detail, but, you know, transparency is super important, right? For you and for your team as well. And if you default to transparency above and beyond, I think that really helps to establish that level of trust that you need between each other, right? We also need to connect, right? Everybody needs to connect individually with you and then with each other as well. And this thing called coaching is super important. Even now that we're in a virtual space or disconnected a little bit from our employees, right? How well are we providing them and helping them to boost their skills and move to that next level? That really impacts that engagement that you guys talked about is challenging right now. And then this piece of community, right? Continuing to get better at building a greater sense of community amongst our team, despite the challenges that, you know, the hybrid space or the all remote or all at home space creates for all of us, right? Because at the end of the day, and in some cases, at this point, I feel like it's a string of days. It kind of just goes together, right, Diane? People really want to feel that they are valued, right? Like Cynthia wants to know her boss values her as a person. And she also wants to know that what she do is adding value to the organization. Those two things matter a great deal. It's actually this thing called mattering that comes from, right? So today we really want to just kind of talk about how you can continue to reflect on the ways that you're intentionally paying attention to these areas, and hopefully add some ideas that you can put in your toolbox to help you do an even better job with your team of cultivating these trusting relationships and achieving success still despite the challenges. So we'll tackle that first one right off the bat with defaulting to transparency, right? When teams are physically working alone or, and you know, even when Diane's in the office, if I'm in the office at the same time, we're basically still physically alone, right? Like we aren't encouraged to get up and go to each other's cubby and sit down and talk, you know, face to face. We could if we kept the distance and put a mask on, but, you know, then it's like, what's the point, right? So it's a lot easier for all of us, consciously or unconsciously, to withhold information or not provide enough context to each other about the work, right, about what's going on. So this is not just for you as a leader, but also for you to talk about with your team, right, the level of transparency that we have in our communication between each other, right? And really setting the way out there to model for others how you're providing relevant information so that there aren't big surprises that come up, right? If you oftentimes find that there's, you know, a disconnect or somebody didn't know somebody else was doing something else, this might be a great area for you to pay attention to. So how does that look? Over-communication. As I scroll backwards. Sorry about that. I hit my button. That was just to wake you up. Are you awake now, John? All right, good. Over-communication is the key, right? We have to make an effort here, an extra effort, especially when some are working remotely and some are not, that everybody is sort of in the know. And so you really have to think about how does this operate for your team, right? Starts for you as the leader, that you're making sure to keep everybody in the know. What are those regular times that I'm communicating about important issues? But it shouldn't end there as well, right? The team really needs to own this level of accountability because you don't want everything to be dependent upon you, right? We want to encourage this to sort of come from within as well. Because ultimately, something's going to get missed if it's dependent upon one person, right? Like, think about the ways that your team can enhance their internal communication, right? Since there's limited interpersonal contact, whether you're physically together or not, there's still that limited interpersonal contact, right? Really, we need to provide a space for our teams to think about these areas and come to consensus and agree upon the ways in which we're going to share information, right? So some of this can happen very organically within your teams, and some of you may already have some strategies you can share here. So we'll do that in just a moment. But, you know, connecting instantly on things is really important, right? I mean, there was a time where I could just walk over to Stacy's desk and be like, hey, Stacy, by the way, da-da-da-da-da, you know? Or even with you as their supervisor, right? I had this come up just the other day. I was like, I just want to lean around the corner and ask my boss a question real quick because I've got this thing happening, an email, and I need to respond, but I'm not sure how to respond, and I want to know what his thoughts are. So what do I do? Do I try to call him? Do I send him an email? Do I send him a chat, right? Like, I have to think as an employee, like, what is it that I'm going to do to reach out? So consider those things for you and your team. When there are those times when things come up, what's the availability going to look like? Do you have a general chat? Like, some of us are using Teams in that way. Is anybody else? You can raise your hands, like, or give a thumbs up. Anybody else using Teams, like, regularly now? A lot of people have found that. Or a similar platform, right, where you can kind of check in with people really regularly. Yeah.
Travis, Lizette, they all absolutely said yes. Yeah. Christopher, yeah.
We started like right before COVID. We were just starting to like dip our toes into Teams, and then, you know, COVID hit. It was like, okay, let's all do this. You know, I think a lot of people kind of fell into that same boat. And whatever platform you use, right, some sort of a function for you to be able to like regularly share information. Keeping in mind that that's still subject to sunshine law, right? Your team needs to know that. You know, we can chat about things and even make them fun chats, but they are still like an email, you know? But even for us, you know, we switched over to Teams, and I mean, I feel like, you know, we had some things going pretty well, and then it was like the chats became a challenge that we needed to talk about. Because we had like a general chat, right, Diane? And then like people were putting things in this general chat. Sometimes it was like an update that we needed to know. And then other times it was like, oh, I found this funny, you know, meme, or I need help with something. And then so all different things were kind of going into the same chat. And we were like, right, Diane?
Well, really, it was Becky that said, why are we putting fun stuff in?
I nicknamed myself like the fun killer because I was like, okay, is this work or is this fun? Like, what are we doing here? Because it's confusing me and I don't know when to check in on certain chats, you know? And it was
so we had to create a separate one for chatting features that were work related and then one for fun so that we all know which one's the fun and which one's the chat one.
Yeah, even with the chats and the channels, right? You have to have some conversations around operationalizing it, right? Like, what does this work for us? What's our expectation around checking chats, right? Because now you're asking me to check email, and now I've got chats popping up, and, you know, we actually made a decision as a team, and again, this didn't come from our leader. It actually came more internally to say, instead of putting our schedule changes that happen, right? Like, maybe I need to adjust my lunchtime today from 12 to 1 to 1 to 2 because I have a webinar. So I'm going to adjust it. Where does that go? You know, those are the little things that you just want to talk about. And really, again, defaulting to transparency is really the key. Yes. All the time. Perfect. So anyone else have any strategies that they have found really that have worked along the lines of kind of defaulting to transparency and making a day-to-day basis communications about things? Because, you know, that's one of the benefits I see with Teams, too, is like you know, if Marcus is in the office and Tamara is in the office, but Jameson and Karina are not, right? I don't want it to be the case that, like, something is said in a personal, like a physical space environment that isn't then communicated to those people, right? So in a lot of ways, what the Teams chats have done for us is give us a place that that kind of stuff goes. And so even if, you know, Marcus and I have a conversation and we talk about something, our next thought is, let me put something into the group communication about this so that everybody's aware if it's something that needs to be shared. Anyone else have any strategies or things that they have found that have really helped? You can feel free to unmute yourself too. Daily stand-up meetings, Jameson? Yes. Very good. Reoccurring one-on-ones. We'll talk about those too. Sharing calendars. Yep. Oh, yeah. My computer's like, software changes. No, not right now. Yeah, and you can really help to create this place where people feel more in the loop, right? And so that also opens up opportunities for more collaboration, right? If we have a group that's sort of shifting to like a core working group on a project, then there's a channel there for them to communicate and stay up to date, right? And then the fun chat, I think, you know, again, you have to set the rules up that it's still work fun chat, but it's kind of like, you know, the breakout room or the break room that you would have where you might catch somebody at the water cooler, right? Share a funny meme, work appropriate, or a lot of times we might share inspiring links to like a short video or an article that really inspired us. It just gives you that opportunity to still give that connection, but in a way that is instantaneous to everybody. Weekly check-ins, good, yeah. And then, of course, one of the things that's nice about those instantaneous chat functions, whatever platform you use, is that you as a manager also now have the ability to sort of pay really close attention as things come up to any confusion that might exist, right? So if there's misinformation or confusion that starts to erupt from a chat, right, you see people start to say, well, I don't know about this. What about that? We haven't talked about this. You can escalate that up then, right, as a manager to whatever level it needs to be brought to. So it could be maybe you need to meet with one person individually to clarify some things or talk about some things. Or maybe there's an issue that you realize as a result of a chat. You're like, oh, actually, this is something we should probably pull to our group meeting, you know, or our stand-up meeting so that we can talk about it a little more in depth, right, depending on the issue and depending on what's going on there. But the level of transparency is really helpful for you as a leader, right? To just kind of gauge where your team's at and help to intentionally build up those pathways to more success. My chat's popping out. Jokes and share funny memes. Yep, those are fun too. I really enjoy our team chat that is not work-related. And it also provides a place for that to go where I know I don't have to look at it until I'm ready to, right? So if I'm in the middle of a project and I'm really like focused in on something, I know that because of where it popped up at, that I don't have to go and check that right away. It's not an important message about an urgent, you know, client that I need to call back. I know that it's something that I can just check in on at different times and just help boost my mood, right? But ultimately, you as a team and as a leader get to decide what tools are going to be best and how to make the best of those tools, right? Everyone needs to be on the same page with that, right? So raising up, you know, how well is this working for us? Are there any issues that you see? Why are we using this, you know, this way of communicating versus that way? And what if they encounter help or they encounter trouble? How can they get help, right, Diane? Like, who do I reach out to when I need help? But making that really clear as well and paying attention to how your team is interacting and trying to encourage that collaboration. So when you do have those weekly stand-ups or those check-ins, that can be helpful as well.
Yep, communication with our team, I think, is a valid. Very important.
I think, so John does weekly venting sessions on Zoom. Ooh, that's interesting, John. So it's like, what's kind of getting in your way this week? Or what's giving you grief? Awesome. We'll talk a little bit more about some of those connection ideas too, but I want to, because I want you guys to be able to share, sharing their frustrations. That's great. It's interesting and the way they overcome them. Good. So you keep the positive spin on it to say, like, all right, where were your, you know, hang-ups or what were your frustrations and what did you do to get past them? I love that piece because then that shows that, you know, like, we're not totally going to just sit in our frustrations forever and just have pity on ourselves, right? But we'll also talk about the ways in which we can overcome them, and that builds resilience. So that's a great strategy. I love that, too.
I do, too.
Anyone else have any strategies that they want to share for transparency? Good-natured ribbing. I like that. Good. Awesome. And our next strategy that we want to share with you is around connection, which really links very closely to this, right? So transparency, creating that level of transparency includes, you know, work-related stuff, critical, right? Expectations, workflow, how do I reach out when I need it? But also then this piece around connecting with everybody. Some of you already mentioned this along the same lines as being connected to that transparent piece, right? But you as a manager really kind of blocking off the time to give that personal connection with your team. I love weekly stand-ups. We do that as well. I think that's great. We time ours even, so it's like you have 1 minute to share, you know, one thing you move forward and the next thing you have on your priority list. So it's not about telling me, you know, your whole life story. It's just quick. It's an update. We all get a sense of what we're all working on, and we move on. You know, so we do ours in a real quick. That's how a stand-up should be, very quickly, right? They're on video, so we all get to see each other. Again, it builds that connection piece. But you also want to think about the one-on-one times that you're spending with your employees, right? And making sure that you have that built in. And if you haven't yet really shifted to this and you have a hybrid team or you have a completely remote team, one-on-ones regular are super important. Now you get to decide, right, with your team and your type of work, is that a daily one-on-one where we're going to check in, you know, every single day, or maybe it's a weekly one-on-one. Frequency matters more, they say, than the duration. So consider that. When you're trying to build engagement, help people to feel valued and like what they do is valued. Again, that whole sense of caring and mattering. You know, consider the fact that your employees can't see you in the office, right? Like I described my little frustration, it's minor, but a little frustration around like, I just want to walk over to my boss's office right now. And I can't, you know, I can't just get right to him. And I can send him an email, but I don't know when he's going to read it or when he's going to respond. You might feel the same way with your employees, right? Like the space that we have between us, both in our offices and beyond, also creates in some ways a delay, and it can impact productivity. So regular check-ins with your employees can help them to feel like they're really supported. You get to hear what sorts of frustrations or issues might be coming up for them on a regular basis so that you have that connection. Think about how you create visibility in your own schedule as a manager, right? How accessible are you for your team members so that they can get the on-the-spot support, whether they're at home or in the office, right? So that there's, you know, not that, because that could add to some of the hard feelings, you know, if I'm able to access you quickly or I'm not able to. Maybe you have regular office hours where you're able for people to drop by virtually from time to time. I've heard that strategy come up before. Feel free to put other strategies for how you connect with everybody in the chat as we're talking through this, because we'll share those out as well. And we know there's never enough time, right? I mean, I get that. As a leader, though, it's critical. You have to prioritize this piece to really connect with your team. And if this isn't something you've done a great deal of, make it a habit now. You know, especially when some are physically there and some are physically not, or some combination of the two, it's really critical. So block off that time. It'll be worth it in the long run. You know, that's what I always say. It helps you to build trust. And again, trust is foundational for relationships, right? In order for us to be able to show empathy, which builds stronger connection with our team, we have to be able to have these trusting relationships. Identify really early on when they're starting to feel stuck, right? Diane might say, I'm not really sure where I'm going to go with this. And that allows you the opportunity to give some more questioning, to maybe give some resources, right? Because if they're sitting at home, or you're at home and they're in the office, right, how long are they going to be stuck with that frustration or that barrier before they're able to move past it, right? And that could be really, really challenging. So invest in it. The more you get, more you put in, the more you get out. It's one of those things, right? And it shouldn't always be about business, right? There is definitely this place where we want to be checking in on work. Absolutely. Clarify expectations, clarify progress, talk about what things are getting in the way. But also think about the questions that you're able to ask that are able to help you get a better perspective of what their day-to-day operations are like, right? Like, how well have they created those work and personal life boundaries? Or if they're back in the office and you're managing that hybrid team, how well are they dealing with some of those feelings of resentment? And what are the ways that they can turn those feelings around so that they're still able to be productive and happy at work, right? These contacts are going to be super critical for you to create those conditions, right? Awesome. What other ideas do you guys have coming in?
We have some daily 8 a.m. Zoom meetings and Friday happy hours and playing games, and then also the one-to-one. Rita finds that she uses the IMs best to connect with the supervisor and team members. So,
yeah. And that's different for everybody, but, you know, you find what works. And just really give that some thought. Like, how well do my team members have access to me when they need it? And how much support am I providing them in terms of checking in, what's going well, where are your struggles? We all have them. You know, we all have to have help at times prioritizing. We might have 15 things in front of us, right? And Tamara's like, well, I don't know which one my boss wants me to start with, so I'm just going to pick, you know? That's fine. But if you really have a priority that you want Tamara to put over one thing over another, right, those check-ins are the critical time to provide those clarifications, right? Also, think about, you know, when there's time and space between us and when we're through these challenging times of hybrid teams, you know, you want to be asking questions in those check-ins that are going to help you to be sure that your teammates understand what's expected, right? So you might ask them something like, what does success with this project look like? Or, you know, if they're feeling really stuck, maybe you say, tell me more about what you've tried so far and how has that gone? You know, just so you can really, again, be empathetic and build understanding versus always jumping in and giving direction. There's certainly a time and a place for that, and you want to balance that as a leader. But when there's time and space, it's even more critical, I think, for us to really take time to make sure that expectations are very clear, that we're both thinking the same thing, right? Because, you know, we can't see each other sometimes. We definitely don't have as much access to each other. So many barriers, but we do have control over that. And then, as some of you mentioned, right, like thinking about this social aspect, right, Diane?
Yeah, the social part. So I'm kind of the social chairman for our team right now.
Become, I guess, like our social, what do they call that? The like lead social person.
I don't know. Anyway, so we're trying to be very conscious of being connected and making our team still relevant and having fun. So what we've done is I've tried to schedule every 9 weeks. I know some of the teams here that in the chat, you guys have written that you do it more often. Maybe I should do like a Zoom bingo and or maybe have a lunch with your coworker virtually. Some games that we played as categories online. There's actually a website that you can go to, and I did that last time, so we're going to do that again because it was so much fun. Costume parties. You can have your people, we can all come dressed up in something, and then you have your cameras off, and then once the lead of the meeting turns on the camera, then you can talk about what your costume is, and it's kind of like a Halloween or trick-or-treat. Then you can go knock, knock, Becky, what do you got? And then she turns her camera on so we can all like visualize and see everybody's costume one at a time.
Oh, Gavin. You know, you could also see, I think the costume thing is so much fun. You could go so many ways with that, especially with Halloween right around the corner.
Exactly.
You could also hide your costume, right? Have your things off. And then almost like, what's that thing where you describe So you give like a clue. So then you go around and I might say like, you know, mine has something to do with strength, or, you know, like maybe I'm a superhero. Like I might give like clues about it and then people have to guess it. Or you have like so many guesses. I don't know. That could be fun too.
Yeah. Ice cream parties. Everybody has some ice cream at their desk or at their virtual home or book clubs or favorite electronic apps, since we're all online all the time, or maybe a gratitude share. We haven't done that, or your favorite vacation that you did. I don't know which participant here talked about that. I think it was, oh, Sarah. I love that idea of just one tip about each person, too. You could do something like that as well, or I think there's a game. What
a thing
is
you don't know, yeah.
Lie
or two truths and a lie. I like
absolutely.
That. That's fun. Yeah, so just different ways that you can kind of connect, you know, and be creative with this. And if you have somebody on your team, like we have Diane, she is an amazing bingo facilitator. We discovered, we had no clue. This came out as a strength for her that she's great with these social connections. She has the ball thing and everything. She's great. But and we can share a couple of links in the follow-up email. But if there's anybody else that has links to anything fun, well, feel free to throw that into the chat as well. Look at that online puzzles. That is
wow.
So you have to find what works, right? Like, and you know, get input from your team. We are a very, so I know I've worked with many teams and I know some teams on campus are really like social and they like enjoy each other's company. They're good friends outside of work even. And, that's great. Not everybody's like that. We are really not a team that's like that. Like we don't, outside of COVID, we would never do a team happy hour. Like I've never been invited to one on my team. We've never gotten together outside of work. So we're very business focused is what I'm saying, right, Diane? Like everybody on our team is very like office focused. We take the time to talk to each other about our families and things like that, our trips that we might go to. So this was actually, I think, a little more challenging for us to, you know, and Diane has pressed us along because I think we have enjoyed it, but it does take up a little bit of time in your day. Our boss allows us to do it, you know, during our workday. So it's like 11 to 12, we're all going to be, you know, on a Zoom call playing Scattergories. And thanks, Diane, she put the link in there for us.
There's also times, you know, we're missing the social aspect in regard to the water cooler moment or maybe, you know, the drive-by saying hi or whatever, what you did for the weekend. So you just have to be more intentional about how we create our social thing. And so that's what maybe I should do it more often now that I think about it.
And like I said, it's not something our team, like, really gets into. Like, honestly, there's some people that are like, you know, it's just, and teams are different. But it's important. It's important to provide that social time for everybody to kind of de-stress a little bit, to just, you know, focus on each other and provide that opportunity to see each other outside of the day-to-day workspace. It really helps to create those higher levels of trust. And anytime you can incorporate in something where they're able to also get a better idea of each other, right, and know each other at a higher level, especially if anybody have teams where they're like have several people that are new since COVID, like since all of this has gone through. Anybody have that kind of scenario? I know there's some out there.
Again, giving you a time check too, just so you know, about 15 more minutes.
Oh, good. Thanks, Diane. Yeah. I think it's 3 or 4 or less than a year. Yeah, see? So a lot of people, one employee, yeah.
Well, there we go. There's some games that were added to the thank you.
I owe them dinner. That's cute. Yeah. I've seen a couple of people on in my Facebook group, that have started to have their bosses have sent them, like, some sort of a way to go and get dinner as some kind of an acknowledgement of accomplishments or whatever. But yeah.
One more idea that I thought of, well, I read it about, is people do like lunch together, and then so the boss can bring pizza in for everybody in the office. But then if you're at the home, they know the home address of the person, so they would send them a delivery of a lunch, whether it's a sandwich or something like that. So everybody feels included, not just the ones in the office got a free lunch.
Yes, I read that too. And that's a nice way to still have a group lunch, sort of, right?
Right.
Wow, John, 6. That's a lot. So I think, you know, those of you that have people that are new to UF in the last, you know, like Diane's, you know, 9 months even, I think any time in the last year, really, you know, this is even more critical for them to be able to have that social outlet and also just to get to know each other and connect with each other in a fun way. And when some are in the office and some are not, it's even more challenging. A lot of great links on there. Thank you to those of you that were able to post some of those links.
And we'll add them to the follow-up email as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. And so we also want to emphasize the importance of, you know, rebooting your coaching program. So, you know, regular check-ins with your team are important, right? But it's also critically important that we're coaching up our employees and helping them to grow and learn and get better at what they do. You know, and this looks different for everybody, but if it's been a while since you really focused in on coaching, or if it's new to you completely to do this with your employees, you really want to start off by just acknowledging the efforts that everybody has kind of put into this, right? I mean, really, truly, most people have dealt with you know, circumstances well beyond our control, made the best of a challenging situation, right? So focusing on appreciation and really kind of setting an optimistic tone from the start is really critical to help boost your coaching program, right? So talking to folks about what they have done well and really affirming and appreciating that. You know, maybe it's just that they have taken on some additional duties because you're down a team member. I say just, that's not just, right? That can be overwhelming. Maybe it's because they went above and beyond for a customer in a certain instance. You know, whatever it is, really appreciating and affirming what it is that they're doing well. And that can really help to create these levels of commitment and accountability that we're striving to achieve for our teams to really function at a high level. So as a leader, you want to look for ways that you can make accountability a habit for everybody on your team, right? And then really reinforcing that every step of the way. What can they own? What's their part in this? What is their ownership of the decisions and the angles in which they're going to take that development? And coaching is really one of the biggest tools that you have in your leader toolbox to do this, right? Through effective coaching, you can do several different things. It helps to motivate. Some of you mentioned engagement was an issue right now, right? Coaching can really help you to motivate and inspire and just elevate the performance of those that you have on your team, right? One of the most common causes of burnout, besides overwork, which we know is an issue right now because most people without a clear separation of work and personal and work life, as well as just the challenges of the pandemic and educating our children and all these other things health related, the sense of unfairness or feeling unsupported or being isolated, which is another outcome of this hybrid work model or remote work model, can oftentimes push people over the edge and cause that burnout to really come through. So coaching conversations are your opportunity to really switch that over, to make it a difference, right? So how do you ramp up your coaching efforts, right? First, you have to think about your own thoughts and your own considerations. The best coaches, let me think about sports coaches, right? The best coaches in sport, pick any sport you want to pick, right? They don't walk out there with their team and think that they've got a team full of people that, you know, players that are not going to be able to pull off this task, right? The best coaches walk out and say, this is potential here. I see here optimism for thoughts about the future. I see here a team that can win a championship, you know. I see individual players that are able to just go further and further in their skills and knowledge, right? You as a coach want to focus in on... Stop it. My computer's popping up with stuff. It won't go away. Go away. There it goes. Oh my goodness. It keeps coming up. Focus in on the opportunities and the possibilities versus the limitations, because oftentimes that's where our brain goes, right? So this is, requires a shift in your mindset and a shift in their mindset as well, but can really open up pathways to uncover hidden potential that you don't even know is there, right? Like Diane, great bingo facilitator. I'm just kidding, Diane. Diane has great strengths outside of being great at facilitating bingo. but you as a leader really want to show that optimism through your verbal and nonverbal communication. When you're meeting with people in person, either at a distance or through Zoom, but also in your writing, in your communications with them. think about the tone that you set for your team and for those individuals and how that can be used to really shape action in others. And pay attention to these different areas, right? Shift your focus in from looking at where there might be shortcomings or critiques that you could make to first recognizing what are the strengths, capabilities, and successes of the individuals on my team. And as my team collectively, look at your team with an appreciative eye first before looking for those critical aspects. And that'll really help you to create those connections that are built on a solid foundation of trust. Like we said, that is the key here. It's amazing how much that shift mentally to looking for what's right before you look for what's wrong can really propel your team members forward, right? Great leaders recognize the need to be very intentional about this. Having that distinctly appreciative environment in all their conversations, especially important when not everybody can be physically present at the time. You know, it's even more critical. I like Sarah's, I was just checking out Sarah's comment as well.
It's going to be similar to what you're going to say on the next slide, actually.
Oh, look at that. How about that, Sarah? Our brains are in sync. So as a leader, right, you really have to model the way. You have to be the example here, right? True coaching can only occur in an environment where there is personal accountability, and that starts first with you as a leader, right? And you model and set the way with these things. But then we need to put the onus on the individuals. People need to feel responsible for their own emotions, for their own actions, for their own decisions. And that really starts with you as the leader, but it doesn't end there, right? You model the way, you set the example, and then you need to turn that onus over to your team and expect that of them as well. Ask them to make their own personal commitments. You know, what is it that you're able to do here? Set their own deadlines. When you can do that, right? Give them that autonomy. And then holding themselves accountable as well. And those regular check-ins really help to create that cadence of accountability. And then you can just check in with them and ask how things are going versus telling them, right? The flip side of this would be, I'm going to tell you exactly what I want and when I want it, and you're going to do it just like I expect, right? Your job as a coach is to create those conditions where folks know what's expected. They know they can reach out for help if they're stuck, and you're going to help them celebrate the successes, even the small ones, all the way along the way. And then our last suggested strategy is really just to think about that connected sense of community. And again, this kind of connects to some of those other areas as well. But what's different here is to think about, you know, especially with hybrid teams, balancing and guiding from up front, which is that established structure that we know needs to exist, right? You as a leader do have to pay attention to that, but then also from behind guiding, right? Trying to empower your employees to start to make sense of decisions that need to happen and make suggestions and be able to speak up and have input into those processes. Your challenge here as a leader really is to create the conditions. Create those conditions, because ultimately working together is what you're striving for, right? But you want them to have a level of comfort where they're able to share opinions and ideas, maybe confirm understanding. And this is different for everybody, but there's things that you need to consider in this space, right? Like, what are our norms for interacting virtually? What do we expect of each other in these different sorts of ways that we're interacting? And that can really help with some of that resentment that you guys brought up early on is a problematic. You know, maybe people that are in the office feel like they're not getting a response when they need to get one from folks that are remote. Let's talk about it. What could be a best practice that we could put in place for communicating about certain things? And really having those discussions, because the dialogue is the key here. If you can encourage that dialogue and get folks to really work through it together. So you can also approach things differently now that we do have this virtual space. In some ways, it allows us a little bit of flexibility, right? Think about how brainstorming or facilitated decision-making happens. Not everybody always has to be on a Zoom call, right, Laura? Like, we don't always have to be in this main session room. Maybe you put your group into breakout rooms and have them in pairs or in small groups kind of talk about some ideas or brainstorm possibilities or talk about solutions that they might see. that also helps with some of these other areas of really building that personal connection, right? And decreasing those feelings of isolation and fragmentedness that happens when we have these virtual and remote teams, right? So it's completely appropriate for you as a leader to really kind of give the basic protocols around communication. We don't want it to be just a complete free-for-all, but also thinking about, you know, getting that reality check from your team and allowing them to input into some of these critical components. And at the end of the day, like we said at the beginning, right, it all comes down to trust. Trust amongst your teammates is foundational. Really have to pay attention to this and the ways in which you can start to cultivate even greater levels of trust. We can always get more trust. So wherever your starting place is with this, there's ways, and these are some of the strategies that really that we talked about today that can help you to build greater levels of trust. I don't know if I saw something come through in the chat. No, we're right at the end.
Just some comments about isolation too, and even though we're there, like, you know, for us, Becky, we're in the office having our team meeting, but we have a cubicle wall on the right side of me and I can hear her over there talking, and even though we're not in the same space, so.
Isn't that true? It really does. It, like we said that at the beginning, a lot of people are agreeing with that. In some ways, all being remote started to feel better, right? I mean, at first it was really weird, and then I think we kind of, you know, got used to it. At least we did on our team, and now it's almost like when you're in the office, it's like, what's the point? I mean, I know I felt that way. There have been days where I'm like, well, my boss isn't here. Most of my team's not here. I'm just here because there's a computer that's and a phone, and I'm here, you know? And some of that is hard, and some of that we just have to be there to support each other and let each other know there are things we have control over. There are things we do not have control over, right? So for those of you personally.
But I enjoy talking over Becky real quick. But what I enjoy is that, you know, our supervisor also discusses that he has the same feelings, you know, so that he does feel, you know, like we're in the office, but the door's shut, even though he's sitting, you know, or his office is right there by mine. So it happens to everybody. I think as long as your teammates know that you are, from an employee point of view, you know, you also have the same, you know, feelings about the isolation. It's just beneficial to know that you're not the only one.
Yeah. And maybe bring that up. Talk about it. You know, and what are the ways that we can be, you know, more supportive of each other or create more channels. You know, it doesn't mean another Zoom meeting. Maybe that's not it, right? I got the point earlier. I know I feel that way. Some days I feel like I'm on Zoom all day long, like my ears hurt, right? And I know others feel that way as well. So it's not necessarily even another Zoom meeting, but, you know, maybe it is another social time. Maybe it's another way to connect. Or maybe you just have a meeting where you come together and talk about, you know, some of these things. Talk about the feelings. You know, talk about the ways in which you're overcoming them. I love that point from the beginning in one of the comments that somebody said, we talk about the challenges, we talk about how we're getting through it, right? And we have some great resources on building resilience. We just had a webinar that was recorded this week on building greater levels of resilience. I think I'll include that in the follow-up email as well, because I think that really goes through with some of this also. But some of it's really just getting through and staying the course as well. I know we're right at our time here, so I want to thank you all for attending the webinar this afternoon. And Diane, did you have any final thoughts? Oh, let me click to the last slide. Thank you.
Yes. No, there was some messages about it in the chat. So, yeah, we'll be sending out the resources with the email as well as the one-page flyer that I created for helping the strategies that we talked about, as well as some – I'll put also the links of the actual great ideas for our fun interactions and parties. So I will add those to the email as well.
Yeah, and I think very closely related to our topic on leading hybrid teams is we did record a webinar recently on accountability in the workplace, which really encompasses a lot of these areas and goes into more of the structural components of it and best practices, as well as effective virtual meetings, which came up several times in the chat as well. So we'll include some of those links in the follow-up email for you also. Thank you so much for attending this afternoon. We really appreciate
it. Everybody have a great weekend. It is Friday, right? And it's payday.